You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Today, it is important to do your own thing instead of obeying God and considering others first.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
O God of love and God of grace, send Thy Spirit into our lives. Remove our desire to do our own thing. Empower us, O Lord, to always consider others first, and enable us each day to live unselfishly and to seek Thy kingdom. Draw us to Thy Son, Jesus Christ, and cover our terrible sins with His cleansing blood. Strengthen the weak, encourage the doubting, and console the dying with the assurance of Thine eternal hope, made certain in the death and resurrection of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. In His intercessory name we pray. Amen. Now, do your own thing. This slogan-supported lifestyle became popular in the 1960s and the early 1970s. But then, in the late 70s, there was a slight reversal. The feelings of family and friends and needs of others were finally recognized. And some people tried to be more considerate. Yet, this superficial attempt at decency, courtesy, godliness, and respect was only momentary. Now, a special cover story in the well-respected U.S. News and World Report magazine graphically and sadly reveals that people are, and I quote, once again doing their own thing. The astute and able author of this brilliant magazine article observed that, and I quote, people pick and choose, and they do not care what anybody else thinks. This ego-centered trend is neither a minor nor an insignificant issue. Selfish and self-centered living is rapidly ravaging and ruining our fragile society. This now popular, sinful, self-serving attitude has been further exposed in a blockbusting 450-page bestseller paperback book. So on target are the author's observations, and so damning are his conclusions about the long-term results of doing your own thing that secular book reviewers were forced to stand up and take notice. A professor of history at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology stated that the author had written a book of fundamental importance. The editors of the Wall Street Journal stated that the author deserves a sober hearing. Time magazine said the author is onto something quite real. Yes, 450 pages long this book is that I just referred to, and it is not easy to read. Yet its basic message is extremely clear and painfully pointed. Selfishness and self-centered living, doing one's own selfish thing regardless of the feelings of others, is now sweeping through our society. And it is leaving behind a path of broken marriages, wrecked homes, confused and depressed children, unending guilt, and in some cases, even suicides. Oh, sure, selfishness has always been around. Yet today there is a distinct, horrifying difference. Selfishness and self-centered lifestyles have never before been received with such deliberate openness. and self-centeredness has never been so openly and eagerly encouraged and embraced in schools by the media and even by some religious groups. High school students selfishly build their daily schedules around themselves. Their fellow family members are not even consulted. Children, grade school children, brashly leave the dinner table early. They disrupt crucial family fellowship. They can think of only one thing: seeking self-serving activities. Self-seeking wives, hell-bent to be liberated from their God-given family responsibilities, seek to serve only themselves. And with a Christless, calloused conscience, they leave small children and other family members to make it alone. Tasteless dinners are left in plastic containers in the refrigerator. Fractured family members are left then to eat as best they can. Dirty laundry piles up, and this laundry is reluctantly done by family members who are no longer able to tolerate the increasing stench. Ego-centered husbands, blinded by their hobbies, their sports events, their self-centered weekend activities, and other special interests, viciously exchange the love of their weary families and take time only for themselves. Many spoiled teenagers act as if the entire family has no choice but to dance around them and serve them. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are now at the point where self-centered, do-your-own-thing living must be exposed for the damnable, demonic, and destructive thing that it really is. According to the Bible, self-centered living is a sin, period. No one, absolutely no one, who lives a self-serving life and harbors a selfish attitude shall escape God's eventual judgment. Of God's anger and wrath, the Holy Scripture states, "There is no creature hidden from His sight. All things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him." Perhaps you realize the self-centered and thankless life that you are now living. And God the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. He is convicting your heart of your sin. But don't be surprised about your feelings of guilt, for according to the Gospel of John chapter 16, this is exactly what happens when God's divine word is preached. The Word of God, and I quote, "is living and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces as far as the division of soul and spirit, and it is able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." God, in His loving Word, desires that we recognize our sin, that we turn from our sin, and that we receive help from Him in the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, certainly, if you are honest, you realize how impossible it is, on your own power, to change your sinful habits. And obviously, you cannot change your life. But God can, and God will. God has already made arrangements for this positive, life-giving change for you through a series of events which many people only laugh at and sometimes even reject. Oh, don't miss the glorious thing that God has done for you. Think of a large, rough wooden cross standing on top of a hill. Visualize an innocent man nailed to that cruel crucifixion tool. His tender flesh is ripped by the weight of his dying body. His innocent blood is dripping to the ground. He cries out in agony, and then he dies. This love-filled God-man has just lovingly given up his innocent life to save others. His death is so significant that the entire earth turned totally dark in the middle of the day. The dead got out of their graves and walked around. Extraordinary events occurred. They baffled even the most skeptical. Yet, at the very moment of the Savior's voluntary and necessary death, an even greater heavenly event took place. This is a key element in the most important event of all of history. In the Bible we read that when Jesus died, He also, and I quote, "defeated him who has the power of death, that is, the devil." Yes, through His death, through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, and through His victorious resurrection, Jesus Christ has defeated the power of the one who is now making your life unfulfilled, anxious, self-centered, and thankless. And so now think of it this way. Your life does not have to be what it is, meaningless, thankless, and without hope. No, don't let the devil keep you in his grip of self-centered and thankless living. Begin a new life today and begin to use the power God has procured for you through the death and glorious resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. Begin by confessing your sins. And then, don't live in perpetual guilt. The past is the past. Jesus Christ has died for your sins. They are washed away. And believe that Jesus Christ paid the price for all your sins. All of them. Every last one of them. Yes, believe and trust completely in the Lord Jesus Christ. And live every hour with the divine assurance of His sin-cleansing blood, His devil-defeating power, His life-giving resurrection, and His heaven-guaranteeing atonement. No, Jesus did not only die on the cross, He also rose again from the dead. And now this resurrection power is available to all who live in Jesus Christ. Oh yes, let this coming week be a start of a new, meaningful, and thank-filled life for you and your family. Instead of being self-centered, self-serving, and thankless, doing your own thing, let the power of the Savior make you humble and a servant of others, filled with daily thanksgiving. For the Bible states that through Jesus Christ, and I quote, "Let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God." That is, the Bible points out, the fruit of lips that gives thanks to His name. Some time ago, Dr. George Gallup of the widely known Gallup Poll delivered an eye-opening address at the Center of Continuing Education of the Princeton Theological Seminary. He pointed out that research indicates that most people believe in God. In fact, the majority of people, the poll shows, believe also in prayer. However, Dr. Gallup then highlighted a distressing and disappointing fact. Even though many people pray, their prayers are almost always selfish and self-centered requests. Give me this. Give me that, Lord. I need this, Lord. I need that. Always asking and never thanking. Very few people ever offer prayers of thanksgiving to their gracious Heavenly Father. Yet the Bible admonishes us, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips that gives thanks to His name. If you and I look only at the people around us and get our values for life from them, then we too shall certainly be victims of this sinful disease. We will be enslaved by the selfish rat race lust for more. But if you and I faithfully focus our eyes on Jesus Christ, and if we meditate with a repentant heart on what the Savior has done for us, our callous, thankless hearts will be transformed. The kindness of God will lead us to repentance. Yes, the fruit of our lips will then offer thanksgiving to His name. The Bible basis for today's message has two distinct parts, and this is no accident. In the first part, God encourages us to continually offer up sacrifices of praise and thanks to Him through Jesus Christ. Then, God also graciously reminds us to never, and I quote, neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God says, He is pleased. So start today. With God's help, make your change of life this hour. Leave the devil-inspired jungle of the doing-your-own-thing ego trip. Selfishly doing your own thing always eventually climaxes in the dead end of hopelessness and even despair. Turn away from the hellish anxiety of never having enough for yourself and turn to the real life, a life with Jesus Christ at the center, a life of meaning and a life of fulfillment, a new life promised to you as you worship and thank God by serving others. Now let me ask you, are you a husband or a wife? If you are, then diligently strive to lovingly serve the marriage partner that God has given you. Anybody can give up and get a divorce, but it takes responsible and courageous individuals, those with God-given integrity, to keep a marriage together till death would cause them to part. Divorces are symbols of irresponsibility and godless living. Even if you are the innocent party, still go the extra mile and love your spouse just as Jesus has loved you and given His life for you. The Bible reminds us that we are all sinners, including those of us who are preachers. We are also reminded in the Holy Scriptures that it was while we were yet sinners that Christ died for us. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And now let me speak to those of you who are children and teenagers. God has included you also in His love in his thoughts and in his plans. Oh, don't let anybody ever encourage you to selfishly do your own thing. God expects you to obey your parents, to respect your elders, and to obey your teachers. God expects you to be concerned about others. And most important of all, you children, don't throw away the love God promises you in the fourth commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with you, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. A professor of psychiatry at Harvard University exposed how some parents mislead their children. He said this, "Children are encouraged to look out for themselves and get what they can. Very little emphasis," he said, "is put on turning the child's heart and mind away from himself and toward others." Yes, it is now time for all of us, no matter what our age, to lift our eyes from selfish worldly pleasures. It is now time to focus our individual gaze at the beautiful Savior, the loving Lord Jesus Christ, the one who loves us in spite of our sinful thanklessness, and the one who promises us power to change our lives. And so instead of being self-centered, self-serving, and thankless, let the power of the beautiful Savior make us humble and a servant of others, filled with daily and hourly thanksgiving. For the Bible states that through Jesus Christ, and I quote, "Let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God," that is, the Bible states, "the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name." And as God fills our hearts through thankfulness, let us also not neglect doing good and sharing. For with such sacrifices, the Bible proclaims, God is indeed pleased. Amen.